All right. How you guys doing? You all right? Great time of worship. Glad to see you all here. Boy, shout to the Lord. Tammy really brought back an old one there. I haven't played that one in many, many years. Great song, though. Great song. I love it when we all are, you know, it's funny. I get up here sometimes and I don't always look at it, y'all, but today I was just kind of cruising with it, and all of a sudden, in the middle of Shout to the Lord, I'm thinking, are these guys grooving to the song? Are they lifting up the Lord? And I just kind of look up, and the whole place is kind of moving like this, and I'm like, this is good, okay. Yeah, so we were all lifting up the Lord together. I love it. I love it. I've got a message for you today. Last week I had Pastor Daniel do chapter 5 of the book of Acts. I had already been working on chapters 3 and 4, so I'm going to back up just a little bit. There's a few of the things I'm going to say today that are a bit of a repeat of last week, but I think it's going to help establish some of the points that Pastor Daniel made. And isn't Pastor Daniel just doing so well with speaking? Yeah. Fantastic. Well, on July 20th, 1969, Commander Neil Armstrong and Lunar Module pilot Buzz Aldrin landed the Lunar Module Eagle on the moon. Anybody remember that? Yeah. I do. I was just a kid. Armstrong became the first person to step onto the moon's surface 6 hours and 39 minutes later on July 21st. And as he began to take his first step, he famously said, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." The first person to walk on the moon. Now that was a big step. That was a giant leap. On October 18th, at the 1968 Summer Olympics, Bob Beamon set a world record for the long jump. His first jump of 8.90 meters, which was 29 feet, 2.5 inches, bettering the existing record by 55 centimeters, which is 21.75 inches. When the announcer called out the distance for the jump, Beamon, unfamiliar with metric measurements, still did not realize what he had done. When his teammates and coach Ralph Boston told him that he had broken the world record by nearly 2 feet, yeah, his legs gave way, and an astonished and overwhelmed Beamon suffered a brief cataplexy attack brought on by the emotional shock and collapsed to his knees, his body unable to support itself, placing his hands over his face. In one of the more enduring images of the games, his competitors then helped him to his feet. The defending Olympic champion, Lynn Davies, told Beamon, "You have destroyed this event." And in sports jargon, a new adjective, Beamonesque, came into use to describe spectacular feats. Now that was a big step. A giant leap was what Bob Beamon did. I can't even imagine. Can you imagine watching like the Olympics or something and somebody beats the record by 2 feet in the long jump? Any of you who have done any track and field know that is just crazy. It's like secretariat in horse racing. Yes. So these are huge steps, amazing leaps in man's strength, though. In man's strength. But I'm here to say today that when we walk with the Lord, and this is what I'm talking about today, our steps are much larger, and they mean so much more in light of eternity. I want to read from Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to read verses 38 through 31. Verse 31 will be on the screen. If I can speak correctly, I'll really do well. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. God's steps are by far bigger than any step or leap a man can naturally make, because the steps God makes are supernatural. And when we walk with Him, we walk as He walks. Okay? Can you say, yeah? Can you say amen to that? So this week, we're going to travel through the book of Acts for a while. And we're going to explore chapters 3 and 4. And so here we go, Acts chapter 3. Some of it I will read, some of it I will just kind of condense. So here we go. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Okay, there's a lot of disagreement about which gate this is, actually. Today, they don't call one of those gates the Beautiful Gate, so there's different ideas of which one there were, it was. There are several gates entering the temple that would be considered beautiful. Suffice to say, it was a busy gate that a beggar would have had a prime spot. And as giving alms to the poor was considered to be very pious and respected, it was a good place for someone like that to be. He was probably situated on the steps to the gate, so you can kind of picture that in your mind. Verse 3, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Famous story. So remember, another thing, people were going in for the hour of prayer. So they're very, you know, probably quiet and respectful. So this commotion would have attracted everyone's attention. This guy is so excited, as you can imagine. So verse 9 says, all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So everybody knows this guy because they've seen him for years begging. Acts 3, verse 11. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. So we're going to talk about Solomon's portico, and we're not talking just a few people. Literally, we're talking thousands, and we're going to find that out here in a minute. So let's find out what Solomon's portico was. It was also known as Solomon's colonnade or Solomon's porch. It was a colonnade or a row of columns located on the eastern side of the temple's outer court in Jerusalem. It was named after King Solomon because it was built against the eastern wall he constructed as part of the original temple project. I was looking up the temple back in Jesus' day before it was destroyed. This thing was enormous. The temple itself was large just by itself, but then they built this outer court. It was huge. You could fit 35 football fields. That's how big it was. Huge. So these, if you can imagine, this outer court is just huge. It surrounds the temple. And on the outside, there were these columns on each side. And one of the sides was Solomon's portico, is what they called it, on the east side. And Jesus did a lot of teaching there, and also the disciples did a lot of teaching after Jesus went to be with the Father. So, yeah, that was Solomon's portico. All right, so imagine that scene. Everybody who walked into this large teaching and praying area at the temple knew of this crippled beggar. They see him walking and jumping around. You know, he's now, wish I could explain it all to you, but they took him into the actual temple portion. Peter and John took him, and so then everybody was seeing him all excited. Well, then they went back out to Solomon's portico where there could be masses of people. Verses 12 through 16, the Apostle Peter explains to everyone that Jesus is the one who made this man well. And in verses 18 through 26, Peter continues to powerfully share the gospel of Jesus Christ that told in Scripture from long ago. He is the one who will save. Now we're going to move to chapter 4, verse 1. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, a lot of these religious leaders were Sadducees. As many of you know, we've referred to this lately. They did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, so they were not happy at all that this was being preached. And verse 3 says, they arrested them, it's Peter and John, put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed. And the number of men came to 5,000. So there are a lot of people there. As you can imagine, a place that size can hold many, many people, many thousands of people. Verse 5, on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Now, we're going to hear from Peter again. I've kind of consolidated a lot of what he said. But, you know, you remember Peter, the impetuous man who spoke loudly and whose mouth spoke before he thought. The man who proclaimed he would never deny Jesus. That's a good picture of Peter. I will never deny you, passionately. And of course we know that's the exact thing that he did. Is denied Jesus. But listen to how he speaks now to the religious rulers of the day. Verse 8. Then Peter, and this is something to remember, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. He is calling out the religious leaders right in front of them, saying, you crucified Jesus Christ. He was raised from the dead. You don't speak to those people that way, okay? The high priest was one of them. You don't speak to them that way. Something had happened to Peter, and it has to do with faith. It has to do with the power of the Holy Spirit, and it has to do with obedience to God. And Peter, through the Spirit, has taken a giant leap forward in his life. Not a small step, a big step, a huge step. Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. Why were they astonished? Because you did not speak to the rulers that way, especially a commoner. What are they doing? These people are offended. They're astonished. How could they speak to us this way? And it says, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus, but seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say. So although they're offended, although they cannot believe these guys are speaking to them in this way, everybody can see this guy was healed. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. All right, I'd like to talk for a moment about unbelief. So these supposed religious men have seen a man be completely healed. They are not denying it. Everybody can see it. Everybody knew who this guy was. They saw him all the time. And now he's standing and jumping. So what is their response? Do they say, which you would think they would say, wow, we know, I mean, even if they don't believe in Jesus, you know, that you would think they would at least say, you know, only God can heal someone. Let's give glory to God for the miracle. But that is not what they do. Their response is to worry about their own leadership. Pastor Daniel mentioned that this week that came out of chapter 5. They're worried about what people will think. They're worried about their own position, their own power over the people. And they're saying, we can't let this happen. So please listen to this. Unbelief in the things that are truly of God can blind you to the truth. You can be as sincere as can be, but you can also be sincerely wrong. And if you're not careful, you may be fighting against God. So we have to see, we must see, with the eyes of the Spirit. And I want to tell you something. The eyes of the Spirit are eyes of humility. I have ran into many spiritual people in my life. And many of them are, I'm just going to say, have a lot of pride. And I wasn't going to mention these people till later, but I want to say this. I am struck by Andrea Hood, Pastor Randy's wife. She's one of those rare people that I've run across who is very spiritual, but I mean as genuine as can be, like the real deal. And I have sat there listening to her just thinking, yeah, this is what it looks like. And I'm excited to see what effect the Spirit will have through her. Can you say amen? Yeah, okay. There are things that have happened in Christendom in our day that I have not liked and I have not appreciated. There have been some really strange off-the-wall things that people claim are done by God, especially pertaining to angels, other bizarre phenomena. I remember, I don't know how long ago it was, 10, 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. I remember a lot of people getting gold teeth. Remember this kind of thing? Gold teeth. And angel feathers after a service. And I want to say this. I do think that there are some things that are false, and I believe that some of the things were false, but I have learned to take a step back, compare it to Scripture, and I need to also say that just because something's not in the Bible doesn't mean that God didn't do it. I've learned that as well, okay? What do I mean by that? There are different events that happen in the Bible. God did all kinds of different things in the Bible, and he still does different things today. Now, I'm not saying that he goes against his word. Of course, he does not. On the truths of the word, the foundations of the word of God, those are irrefutable. Those are solid foundation. But what I'm saying is God can do all kinds of different things in this life for his glory. Compare it to Scripture. And if it's not in opposition to Scripture, I've learned that I need to at least be careful what I say, because I don't want to come against something that God is doing. Okay? Now, God has done some really unusual things in the Bible. I'll just name one as the perfect example. He spoke through a donkey. To Balaam. Now, that, I would say, is a little crazy. So, God does some really different things. There are some things that I definitely have thought, I don't know about that. And there are those things. But I've also learned, ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. And because I don't want to find myself on the wrong side of what God is doing. Does that all make sense? Okay. All right. I hope it does. Verse 19. Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Okay, I'm going to take just a little bit of a rabbit trail. I try not to do that, but this just struck me. It was a good opportunity to say this. I'm going to say something about obeying God rather than men, because it is a true statement. That is true. Okay, obey God rather than man. Then that's what Peter and John are saying. But I've also seen this many times as a pastor in the church. I've been doing this a while. That when people are asked by leadership to come under the authority of that leadership and the word of God, if they disagree, they basically say oftentimes, "I have to obey God rather than you." Okay? And so they lay that God card out there. Like, well, God's telling me to do this, so I'm sorry. I'm going to do what I think I should do. Okay. So if God has placed someone in spiritual authority over you, even if you think they're wrong, you're asked to humbly obey them. Now, if they're asking you to sin, of course, that's another matter. Of course. But remember the words of the writer of Hebrews. He says this. Hebrews 13:17. He says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Okay. Now, I've had to do this several times in my life, especially in the ministry. For many years, I was not the lead pastor. It's just these last 3 years that I have fulfilled that role temporarily. And so I always had a senior pastor over me. And there have been times I did not agree with what that individual had decided. But they weren't asking me to do something wrong. And so I had to submit to them and say, okay, you're my spiritual authority. I will obey what you're asking me to do. And I did that. And, you know, over time, that's been a blessing to me. I'm not saying whatever it was, they were right or wrong. I'm just saying that over time, that's been a blessing to me, and it's been a principle in my life that has helped me and has helped many others that I know. Okay, that's all I have to say about that. All right, we're going to go back to the fourth chapter of Acts. Verse 23, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. All right, so what did these believers say in response? After Peter and John come back, and they're saying, oh, the religious leaders have asked us not to speak about Jesus now. So did these believers, how did they respond? Did they say, those stiff-necked, pompous Pharisees and Sadducees, those religious people, which was probably true, let God strike them down. We're going to do what we want. That is not what they said. They didn't say, we're going to do what we want. We're going to do what we want to do. That's not what they said. Let's find out what they said. Verse 24 says, and when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. And then on the screen, we're going to see, starting with verse 29, this is part of their prayer. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. When they were confronted with the spiritual leaders of the Jews at the time, saying that they, the name of Jesus, they went to the Lord and they prayed. And when we follow where God is leading, he takes big steps. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. And this is when the church is just going crazy with people being saved, okay? God was taking these people just like he took Peter and John, and he is moving throughout their world, and it's going to continue to spread throughout the world. God is taking these people and taking big steps. I can remember when I was my last church that a long time ago now, it was a Mennonite church. I'm not going to go through all of that. Mennonites were kind of a, how do I say it, contemporary Amish in a way. Now, there's all different kinds of Mennonites, and if any Mennonites are watching or you're in this building, I know some really good people, and there are different types because I've been to their national convention. Just like the Assemblies of God has different types of people. But So through many trials, through much prayer, through different people being obedient, that kind of thing, as many of you know, the church that I was at grew from about 30 to, I don't know, as far as on a weekend, within 4 years, I think we hit our peak at around 600 people in 4 years. And we were one of the few Mennonite churches in the entire nation that was growing, because they don't really preach the gospel. And so a lot of their growth comes by through having kids, family. It's very strong in family, that kind of a thing. So because of this, this little church I was at out in the middle of nowhere had some national attention. And so I was asked to speak at the National Mennonite Conference. And you might think, well, that's not a big jump. Well, it sure is, because I was a square peg in a round hole with these folks. And I wasn't anything like most of them. But God had called Teresa and I there along with others. And so I had the privilege, and why it was me, I don't know. I guess I'm saying God takes big steps. God takes big steps, and you never know when he's going to do it. I went from this little tiny church that had grown rapidly to speaking at the Mennonite Conference on what do you think I spoke on? The Holy Spirit. That's what I was asked to speak on. And so I get there thinking, nobody knows who I am. Why would anybody come? So I'm nervous as can be, you know. I mean, it's a, wasn't it at that hotel? Yeah, what's the name of that thing? What's that? The Opryland Hotel? Yeah, Opryland Hotel. So I'm in this large room, not as big as the fellowship hall downstairs, probably two-thirds that size maybe. And all kinds of chairs in there. I'm standing there before it starts. Teresa's there. And I'm just going, Lord, whatever you got to do. That place was packed to the gills. So I was able to speak on the Holy Spirit to a people that normally don't hear that. And so in this case, I'm just Roger Hudley, out in the middle of nowhere at a growing place. God decides, well, for this one moment, I'm going to take a big step. And I want to say this to you, that when God takes you from where you are, and whatever it might be, whether it's going and speaking at a national conference or whether that's just the incredible growth in your life, God doesn't do baby steps too much. He doesn't go from here to here to here to here. God will go from here, and suddenly you're over here. That's what God does. And I know lots of people in this room who have had such growth in your life in a short amount of time, but that's what God does. Because when we walk with him, we take big steps, because that's what he does. Because we're walking with him. We're not walking on our own. We're walking with God. And God takes big steps. So everybody say that together. God takes big steps. God takes big steps. Amen. Now, if you have unbelief in what God is actually doing, again, you may find yourself on the wrong side of the works of God. Faith in God and following the leading of the Holy Spirit will cause you and those you are in close fellowship with to take big steps. I'm going to tell another quick story. My son, was dating his future wife, okay? And she had decided, they were very serious. She had decided to break it off. Well, my son was devastated at the time, and we went through a lot with him during that time. And he had saved up money for a wedding ring, a lot of money. I'm not sure exactly where he was going to get this ring, but he had saved several thousand dollars. I suppose you can spend a lot of money on a wedding ring. So when this happened, and so a little bit of time had gone by, Teresa and I went to him and said, well, now you can pay for the rest of your schooling and you'll be all paid. Isn't that what you might have said to your kid? He said, Mom and Dad, I don't have that money anymore. And I said, what? What do you mean? He goes, well, the church has a once a year, they raise money for projects that they're doing. And so it's a faith kind of thing. He goes, I gave all of it to the church. Now, you might think, oh, that's great. But as a parent at the time who knew that his schooling, you know, we didn't have the money to pay for it. We knew we were going to make it by faith as we went. We're like, you did what? You gave all that money to the church? How are you going to pay for your schooling? I also remember saying to Teresa, you know, I did things like that, and people thought I was a little crazy for doing it. So I had to remember that. Well, why do I bring that story up? Well, over the next years, my son ended up marrying that girl. God has used him to reach so many people in the Lord and continues to do so. God has taken huge steps in his life. That was a big step of faith for him to do that. And it was difficult for us at first. But he ended up working his tail off, and he paid for all of his schooling. So anyway, I'm not saying this to say great things about my son. All I'm saying is that God takes big steps, especially when we're obedient to what he asks us to do. Can you say amen to that? All right, okay. Big steps. The Bible's full of big steps. I'm just going to name a few. We could go on and on and on about big steps, and if you have a part of a life group, that's part of this week's questions, is coming up with big steps in the Bible. I just wrote down a few. This is a huge step. Noah and the ark, of course. Yes, of course, we know all about Noah and the ark and how Noah was obedient to the Lord, which is a crazy, crazy story. And then the Lord floods the earth, and then Noah's the beginning of what was to come. Moses taking the children of Israel through the Red Sea. Those are big steps. The fall of Jericho. Those are big steps where the people did what the Lord asked them to do. Esther speaking to the king to save her people. Those are big steps. God saved the Jewish nation through this woman. David, of course, defeating Goliath. Boy, that was a big step. Elisha and the widow with the endless supply of oil, a story that would be told to this day. The apostles, common men, helping to evangelize the world. Huge steps that God took, and they went with him. So when we walk with God, we have the capacity to move forward rapidly. We get supernatural strength, supernatural power. And most often, it's about furthering the kingdom of God. This is what God is about. He's about people. All right. I would like to speak about our coming permanent lead pastor, Pastor Randy Hood, and his wonderful family, his wife Andrea, and their daughters Maya and Zara. So it's my opinion. I thought this before, but I had a very good conversation with Pastor Randy, the first conversation that I have had with him since he is now the lead pastor of this church. And so I have now had to start winding it back, stepping back, okay? And it was a great conversation. And in my opinion, they are called to this place. They're not just a good idea. I personally feel that they have been called by the Lord to come from Connecticut to Oregon. That's a big step. And I really feel that they are called by the Lord at this time for Bethel Church. Now, I need to say this. If they've been called by the Lord, then we need to come alongside them and support them. I believe they will follow the Lord, and I don't know what that's going to look like. I really don't. But if we are walking with them, we'll be following the Lord as well in this instance. I believe that this church is going to take big steps. I believe there's going to be some big leaps in this church. And when I say that, I'm not thinking programs. I'm not thinking changing the way we do everything. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm sure there'll be change, and we must remember that change can really be a good thing. Can you say amen? Amen. It's not always easy. Not always easy. I know that because I'm a person who likes a good plan, and I like to stick to the plan. Well, I've learned to deviate from the plan, but I'll tell you, there will be some change. I honestly don't think they're going to come in and change everything, but I believe that they are led by the Holy Spirit, and I think you believe that too, or you would not have voted them in. And so, one thing I want to say is, when they come, and I don't know when they're coming, people keep asking me that, I know Pastor Randy has said to me that they hope, they're praying that it can be July. He just says the month July. There's some things, they have to find a place here. You know, they're moving everything. So it's a matter of being able to come. We don't know for sure when that will be. But what I don't want for us to have is a show me attitude. Like, well, I'll see how they do. Or, you know, I'll just kind of sit back and see, you know, let's see how he preaches or let's see how he handles this situation. I do not want us to do that. I want us to walk alongside him, and I'm going to do that very thing. And let's pray for them. And I know most of you, and I'm confident that you will do this. And if we all do this, I believe God has laid the foundation for this church to take some big steps, some great leaps. Always means reaching people. Does mean change, and that's okay. This church needs a little change. In some ways. I'm not going to go into that today. But there are some changes that need to be made. And I'm trusting that they're going to follow the Lord to lead us in that. So, Bethel Church is primed to take some big steps. Are you ready? Are you ready? Come on. These could be the most exciting times this church has ever seen. That's where my mind's going. And that's where my heart is going. Because I believe that the foundation has been laid for this to take place. So I would like us all to pray. I sense that very strongly right now. Let's all stand. Would you stand with me, please? Worship team, would you come up? I would like us to pray for the Hood family and for our church together. Okay? Here we go. Lord, we want to come before you. And Lord, we know that you take big steps. You are supernatural. Examples I brought at the beginning were incredible, but they're in man's strength. And sometimes man can do wonderful things. But Lord, you're supernatural. So we want to take big steps in this life. We got this one life to live, and then we move on to be with you. And so while we're here, we want to make a difference. And Lord, I believe that you have positioned us right now for Pastor Randy and Andrea and their children to come. And Lord, we want to do all of this together. I think they're that kind of people anyway. They want to move in God's plan with us. And so, Lord, we want to pray for them, give them a peace, give them a passion, give them wisdom in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I want to pray over our congregation that you would give us the right spirit, that you would give us that spirit, Lord God, of unity, of a passion for the lost, of a passion for discipleship, and whatever it is, Lord, maybe we've done many things in our lives in the church and we think, oh, my time is done. No, we are all going to walk with you, Lord Jesus, and these coming days could be the very best. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Okay, so we're going to sing a song. We have a few baptisms. And as has been mentioned, if you would like to get baptized today, we have everything that you need. We have a change of clothes. We got a towel. We got everything that you need. And so if you'd like to be baptized today, just go on back by the next steps area, and someone will be back there to help you and talk with you. And so for now, we're going to sing this song, and then we're going to do some baptisms. And it's going to be a great, great thing. All right, here we go. You guys ready? Okay. Okay.